praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two ministers of God's economy who served together in China for nearly 20 years. Watchman Nee was imprisoned by the Chinese government in 1952 and remained there until his death in 1972. Following his imprisonment, Witness Lee carried on this ministry in Taiwan and eventually in America and ultimately around the world. He served the Lord for more than 70 years before going to be with him in 1997. His major contribution was through a 21-year labor he called Life Study, an exhaustive commentary on the entire Bible. This program is based on those messages. Before we join today's show, we'd like to give you our website where you can find more programs just like this one. It's lsmradio.org. Again, lsmradio.org. Now, here's our show today. Of all the parables in the final chapters of Matthew, none is more striking and sobering than the parable of the 10 virgins in chapter 25. Coupled with the other parables around it, we can clearly see that at his coming, the Lord will judge and examine his people, the believing and saved ones. This judgment will not be concerning sin or our eternal salvation. Of that we have been assured. But in the matters of watchfulness and faithfulness, we will be examined, not at the risk of our salvation, but at the potential risk of the reward of the enjoyment of the kingdom. Dennis Agassi has joined us again. And Dennis, the words in these programs in Matthew 24 and 25 are just too critically important. We really wish that every born-again person could hear what we're hearing these days, don't we?
I really agree, Chris, to see that this is really something, as Paul says in Timothy, something of a healthy teaching.
Well, we come back to one of the great parables in Matthew today, Dennis, the parable of the 10 virgins, which we began to look at in our previous program. We looked at the first few verses of the parable. I think it'd be good maybe if I read those again, and then you could touch some of the highlights of the interpretation that we're getting of this parable. Again, this is Matthew 25, beginning at verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of the heavens will be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom.
Of course, I think, Chris, that a common understanding is that these five foolish ones were or are unbelievers, and the five wise ones are believers. Actually, this is not the case, as we saw. Very clearly, these 10 virgins are representing the believers. Number one, there is no record in the word at all that the virgins are associated or designated as unbelievers. Every time it mentions virgins, that depicts the real believers. We can see from here, Chris, that these 10 virgins were all real believers, and this parable is not related, like you said, to their eternal salvation, of which we are already assured of and secured of. But this parable is related to the kingdom reward in the next age and what we do today to prepare for the coming of the Lord in that day.
Dennis, I think it's good to point out here, we're seeing a lot in these parables, particularly this one on the 10 virgins, maybe more than all, related to the end times and how the Lord is going to deal with all the categories of people on the earth at that time, the nation of Israel and the Jews, the church, which is the believers, and as we'll see at the end of chapter 25, he'll cover the unbelievers at the time he's coming back. But these are principles and not definitive doctrinal positions that are being presented here. Really what we want to focus on, not so much the details and the finite details and trying to make a systematic study of this, but rather to glean the principles that will really help us in our watchfulness and preparation for the Lord's return.
That really is true, Chris. I have to echo that, that there are some principles here that we need to pick up and see.
Dennis, we want to finish looking at this parable today, but before we do, we'd like to consider the relationship between the two parables here that we're examining in the first part of chapter 25 and the last two parables that were touched at the end of chapter 24. A lot of connection, as we will see in these four parables. They're two pairs, really. And primarily, they're dealing with these two things, watchfulness and faithfulness. Let me just read a portion from a few verses to make the point. In chapter 24, verse 42, it says, "Watch, therefore, for you do not know what day your Lord comes. That same phrase is picked up in chapter 25, verse 13, at the end of this parable on the ten virgins. It says, "Watch, therefore, for you do not know the day or the hour," obviously connecting these. Then also in chapter 24, verse 45, it says, "Who then is the faithful and prudent slave?" Now, in verse 21 of chapter 25, the Lord comes back and picks up this phrase again. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave." So we have these two things, watchfulness and faithfulness, really connected in a marvelous way. And we thought we'd take this first section today to examine this point. Let's go to Witness Lee.
Chapter 24, concerning the believers or the church, covers two aspects. We do know a proper Christian should not only just take care of the life aspect, but also we have to take care of the aspect of our work, of our service. We have to serve adequately. Now, for the service aspect, we need to be faithful toward the Lord and to be prudent toward the other fellow believers. So in chapter 24, these two aspects are covered, that in life we must be watchful and ready, and in our service we must be faithful and prudent. Chapter 25, from verse 1 through verse 30, is a completion in chapter 25. The parable of virgin is to complete the watchfulness and the readiness. Without the parable of the virgins, you don't know how to be watchful and by what way you can be ready. How? How to watch? How to be ready? This how is revealed in the parable of the ten virgins. In the same principle, how? You see, how to be faithful, how to be prudent is told in the parable of the talents. By ourselves, we cannot be watchful. By ourselves, we can never be ready. But there is a way. What is the way? By the infailing of the Holy Spirit, by possessing an extra portion of the oil, by getting yourself prepared with the infailing of the extra portion of the Holy Spirit. The infailing of the Holy Spirit is the way for us to be watchful and to be ready. Then, what is the way for us to be faithful and prudent in the Lord's service? The way is the spiritual gift, the talent. Without the spiritual gift we have received of the Lord, we just don't have the ability to be faithful. And we don't have the ability to be prudent. So here, in chapter 25, you have the infilling of the Spirit, and you have also the gift of the Spirit.
Well, Dennis, as we've been seeing, there is a very meaningful and important connection between the parables in chapter 24 and 25. Both of these chapters have parables that charge us to be watchful and faithful. I guess the obvious question is, why are the parables that we're spending time with in chapter 25 needed if these points of watchfulness and faithfulness were already made in chapter 24?
Well, I believe, Chris, we can see the example in the New Testament. Repetition is a great help to us, especially right. If the point is important. And the Lord doesn't have any problem with repeating this. In Matthew 24, he covered the matter of watchfulness and being ready, along with faithfulness and being prudent. Matthew 25 gives the details, and Brother Lee said the completion of the initiation here in Matthew 24. In other words, it's how to be watchful and how to be ready, how to be faithful and how to be prudent, touching the two aspects of our Christian life, the life side and also the service side.
Yeah, take just a second and elaborate on those two points again. What's represented by the watchfulness and what's represented by the faithfulness?
The watchfulness on the aspect of the side of life. As a believer with our Christian life, we need to be ones who are watchful and ready, always awaiting the Lord's coming. But Matthew 25 also covers the matter of being faithful and prudent as slaves. In the Lord's eyes, we are not only believers or virgin to Him, but we are also slaves according to utilizing the gifts that the Lord has given us. So these two aspects of the Christian life here are touched in Matthew 24 and repeated and completed in the beginning of Matthew 25.
So as His bride, we need to be watchful for Him, related to Him in this loving, intimate life relationship. But as slaves, we need to be faithful in our service and our work to Him.
Yes.
Dennis, let's get back with this important parable dealing with watchfulness, the life side, and the 10 virgins. We're going to pick up where we left off, beginning at verse 5. And while the bridegroom delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Behold the bridegroom, go forth to meet him." Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Then verse 5. Now, while the bridegroom delayed, the Lord Jesus, in Revelation He promised us He comes quickly. But 2,000 years, He has delayed. During His delay, what? They all became drowsy because of the Lord Jesus' delay. The majority of the saints all became weak, then sick, and lastly, dead. Then verse 6, but at midnight, there is a cry. Midnight is darkest time in the night. I believe this refers to the what? To the great tribulation. The cry says, "Behold the bridegroom, go forth to meet him." Then all those virgins arose, raised up, resurrected. After being resurrected, they trimmed their lamps. Some realized that the lamps are not so bright. Then, verse 8, and the foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." No adequate supply. No adequate preparation of the oil. This means no infilling of the Holy Spirit in their soul. They just have a little bit of the Holy Spirit in their spirit, in their lamp. The prudent answer saying, "Lest there be not enough for us and for you." I tell you, you can borrow anything. You just cannot borrow the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is just like eating. You yourself have to eat. No one can help you. So go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. I cannot help you, but under God's mercy, there are two oil sellers, the two sons of oil. And we know these two are the two witnesses. And during the great tribulation, surely they come to help God's people.
Well, Dennis, what we're seeing in this parable is that gaining the oil, or this reserve supply, or this inner supply, is something that every believer is responsible before the Lord to do in our lifetime. It's not possible to borrow the oil, according to these verses. I thought his comparison to eating was a good one. You can't have someone do the eating for you. That's something we all must do for ourselves.
That's correct, Chris. I'd like to come back to see this distinction between the foolish and the wise. It doesn't mean that the five wise behaved better, they did more things for the Lord in this regard. No, the difference and the distinction between the two is that the five wise or prudent virgins had the extra supply of oil, not just in their lamps, in their spirit regenerated by the Spirit of God, but also in their vessels. And the vessels represents the real inner being or the soul of a person. In other words, they allowed the Lord in their lifetime to be saturated with Himself. So they had the extra portion of oil in their souls, not just in their spirit. This constituted them wise virgins. And this is the difference. And I like what Brother Lee said, that today we as the virgins need the extra portion of oil, not just in our spirit, but also in our souls. And this is the distinction here between the wise and the foolish. And like you said, we need to go and buy this oil today for ourselves. No one can do this for us. The word clearly says that we buy for ourselves.
Yeah, Dennis, this is important. Again and again, we're bringing up the point and emphasizing the point that we're not presenting here the common or traditional interpretation of this parable, which normally, as you said earlier, people think that it's dividing between those that are saved and those that are unsaved,
right,
or at least between the believers and the false believers. But really here, this couldn't be a salvation-related event.
No.
Because for receiving salvation, the gift of the Spirit is absolutely free.
Yes.
But here we're being encouraged to go and buy.
Yes.
There's a price associated.
That's correct, Chris.
That's really the focus of this last section, that this is a purchase that does require something of us.
Yes.
Not always easy, but nonetheless met with the promise of grace by the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
You have to pay a price. There's some cost. While you were living on this earth, you didn't pay the proper price. And the price is mainly to deal with yourself, to give up the word, and to love the Lord by all means. Then, verse 10, and as they were going away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. Not the door to go to heaven, but the door to go to the marriage feast. Not the door of salvation, but the door of the reward of the enjoyment of the kingdom age. This door was shut. Verse 11. And later the rest, the foolish one, of the virgins came also. Not only resurrected, but also raptured. Came means rapture. They also got raptured. But late. Could you see this? Late. They got the help, and they bought the oil, and they paid the price, and they got it. But too late. Too late. Time means a lot here. The door into the feast was shut. So they say, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. This simply means, I do not approve your way. The way you lived on the earth and the way you came so late, I do not approve. That means what? Rejection. Not rejection for eternal salvation, but rejection for the enjoyment, the participation in the kingdom feast. Watch therefore. Maya, after we get through this completing word, we can see how to be watchful, how to be ready. You have a complete word concerning watchfulness and readiness. Maya, this is a serious matter. I do believe no other book warns us so much as the book of Matthew. Are you going to be foolish? Are we the foolish ones or the prudent ones? We all have to answer this question. It all depends upon the preparation of the extra portion of the Holy Spirit in our vessel.
Well, Dennis, you can't help but come away feeling this is a very sober and serious word.
Yes.
I think, as we said early in the program, it's one we really wish every believer could hear. Because all of us as Christians are going to be faced in that day when the Lord comes back. Are we ready, inwardly prepared in life to meet Him? The watchful and ready ones had this extra supply of oil in their vessels. Let's spend a few remaining minutes, Dennis, talking about just how we can be those who gain this adequate reserve portion.
Chris, it's interesting here that at the opening of the program you said these were principles that we should follow. The whole idea of being watchful and ready is probably not as common today as it should be, but I'm so happy with the ministry of Brother Lee to bring this out, to make the believers aware that something is coming, and the Lord Himself has warned us to be watchful. The Lord's heart is always for us. I mean, if there's something serious that is coming, the Lord is so faithful to give us an adequate warning in this way. And not only that, Chris, but He's also the daily supply to be watchful and to be ready for the Lord's return. The Lord's intention is not that we would not be ready, but that we would surely be ready. Otherwise, He would not give this parable at all in the first place. Ephesians 5 verses 15 through 18 is a parallel, I think, portion of this. It uses this word about looking carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise.
Right.
So it uses the word wise there. Paul says we have to walk wisely. Then Paul goes on and says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Then he also goes on and says, therefore do not be foolish. How are we wise and how are we not foolish? Verse 18 says, be filled in spirit. This is a practical way to be filled. As we are filled in our spirit in a daily, regular, consistent way, this filling saturates our soul. This constitutes us to be ready to meet the Lord. I like this. The difference between the wise and the foolish is the matter of time. And what we do with our time today, Paul exhorts us to redeem the time because of the evil days. And the redeeming of the time is to be filled in spirit. Loving the Lord, loving the Word, by doing this we are constituted and we are saturated with Christ and we are gaining the extra oil in our vessels. I'm so grateful that these corresponding portions here give us a good warning, yet a way to fulfill this obligation.
Dennis, I really appreciate how these verses that you brought up in Ephesians so much develop the point we're seeing in the parable of the 10 virgins, the matter of the wise, the foolish, and the redeeming the time. But as you pointed out earlier, I think it's worth emphasizing as the program draws to a close today, the time we're talking about spending to be those that are wise is not just in doing good Christian deeds.
That's correct.
This is the filling that comes only out of spending our time in intimate, loving contact and fellowship with our Lord Jesus. This is the time, isn't it, Dennis?
It really is. The Lord, even in this parable of watchfulness and being ready, He depicts Himself as the bridegroom. And He depicts us as the virgin. The Lord doesn't depict Himself as a judge, as an employer, and we the employee. But who is more charming and more attractive than a bridegroom? So the Lord's intention, even in this watchfulness, even in this kind of parable about being ready, even in this sober and serious warning, He still considers Himself the bridegroom. That means as the bridegroom, we're not afraid of Him. We can always come to Him. The Lord welcomes us to Him. And by spending and being personal and intimate and affectionate with the Lord, we are constituted as the wise virgins.
Well, Dennis, as we go on, we're going to see the matter of our service touched again. So the other aspect of balancing word awaits us, but I appreciate how the program has ended today. Let's leave it on this point and be those in the next 24 hours loving Him, spending this kind of intimate time with our dear bridegroom.
Yes.
Thank you for your fellowship, Dennis. We're out of time. Our toll-free number, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. Please call us today. Again, 1-888-543-3788. For Dennis Higashi today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. For 21 years, Witness Lee conducted a comprehensive life study, unveiling how the Bible presents Christ coming to be life to man. These audio programs are based on those messages. But to get the full riches of the Life Study, we hope you'll visit our website, lifestudy.com. From there, you can read over 1,800 Life Study messages in their entirety, or download more audio programs like this one, all free of charge. Again, the website is lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening today.
Where is Jesus Christ today? And does he really care?
But being full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen looked intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened up, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56. The Lord in ascension is usually referred to as sitting at the right hand of God, but Stephen saw him standing there. This indicates that the Lord was greatly concerned for his persecuted one. Scripture, Acts 7, 55 and 56, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.